time's coming, Christmas time's coming, Christmas time's coming, and I know I'm going home.
Reading from Matthew chapter 2, verse 1. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Monday, December 16th, 2024. You're in for a blessing as we continue with Advent messages by Pastor Jason Epperson of CU Church. We'll be looking at Matthew chapter 2. And prepared to be blessed, focusing on our worship of the Lord Jesus. Here's Pastor Jason Epperson.
Today we're going to look at Matthew chapter 2. We're going to walk through the whole book of Matthew. We're going to walk through just Matthew chapter 2. This is going to be a long one. Man, brother, ready to preach today. And so, but yeah, just Matthew chapter 2. Today, when Tyler, it was awesome for me during this Advent season. Tyler's been kind of giving us historical background. I really appreciated that. And so we're in Matthew chapter 2. We're going to talk about the visit of the wise men, the visit of the Magi, however you want to phrase that, as well as kind of Herod's reaction. And so, but before we do that, let me pray. Okay? God, I need you and I'm grateful for you. I'm grateful for every person that came into this place. God, all of us come from different situations, whether the situation is chaos, whether the situation is peace, whether the situation is isolation or loneliness, whether the situation is you're overwhelmed by people, whether the situation is guilt and shame, whether the situation is joy and happiness, whether the situation is you're getting ready to eat a meal with a bunch of people after this, or you have no idea what your next meal comes from. Lord, all of us come from different places, but you are with us all, Emmanuel. And Lord, we love that about you. God, I pray in these next few moments that you will remove any spirit that stands between us and you and allow us to see you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So this word worship we're going to talk about today. When the wise men came to see Jesus, they worshiped. And really the word worship is not just defined by when we are in this room singing songs, that is worship. It's true. But worship is also basically living life. Worship is not only singing songs, it's having a conversation with someone over a coffee and a donut. Worship is not only singing songs, it's also going to the gym or playing a game. Worship is not only singing songs, it's studying for a test or getting a good grade or a bad grade on a test. Worship is not only singing songs, it's the place you work, it's doing laundry, it's cleaning a house, it's loving kids. Like, worship is life, y'all. It's like what you put your efforts towards is worship. And so today when we ask the question, how do you worship Jesus, or how are you approaching Jesus in this season, we're not asking you, are you going to show up for the Christmas experience and sing carols? What we're asking is, are you living your life, are we living our life in a way that honors the King? In this time in history, it was chaos. What's happening in this time in history, and this matters because as we talk about the wise men, as we talk about Herod, it's good for us to understand. We don't know everything about the wise men or everything about Herod, but we do know in this time in Jerusalem, in this time in Israel, in this time in the Roman Empire, it was a very tumultuous time. You have the Caesar or the emperor, his name is Augustus, he's getting older. Herod is the leader over this Jewish fraction or this king of Judaism and all the Jewish people in Israel in this portion of time. And he's getting older. And Tiberius, if you know your Roman history, has just retired as the Roman general. And so there's this eastern kingdom of Rome where it's like Persia, it's like Iran, Iraq, modern day Iran, Iraq, that was a part of the Roman Empire. But the truth is they never really had a hold of it. And so in this moment in history, the reason why there's so much tension in Israel is it was the battleground. It was the furthest point east of Rome that they had complete control of. And the further you went east, you found desert. And then you found all this modern day Iran, Iraq, Persia, like this area that was constantly in friction. They had three different wars with Rome in the previous 50 years. Why does that matter? Because it's going to matter here in a second as we read this passage. So Herod is terrified someone's going to take his leadership. The eastern kingdom of Persia or whatever you want to call it in this time in history doesn't want a Roman person in charge in Israel as well. And we start this passage and a king is born. And this is what it says. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem. So Herod the king, you heard a lot about already from Tyler. I'm not going to repeat it because we don't have time. But the reality is this. Herod was a really, 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 really bad dude. but really good at building infrastructure, really good at building buildings. But he was a ruthless king. Augustus had this quote of Herod, that it's better to be a pig than one of his sons. It's better to be, now, if you're a Jewish king, pigs aren't your favorite thing. It's better to be a pig than one of his sons. That's what Caesar thought of Herod. That's how ruthless this guy was. And so that's who Herod is. And these wise men that come in, I'm going to keep reading, but we're going to talk about the wise men. There's a lot of things in history we don't know for certain, but we can see some things. When you study Eastern history and like Persian history, you learn about these wise men. See, these wise men go all throughout the Bible. If you read in your Bible, whether it's Simon the sorcerer in the book of Acts, or it's in the book of Daniel, remember when Daniel is captured, they take his manhood, they bring him in, and Nebuchadnezzar is trying to find out a dream. And who does he call in order to learn about his dream? He calls the what? The wise men. He brings these wise men. It's the same group of people, the same group of men. Throughout history, they were nomads. They went with different kingdoms, and they were the wisest, the smartest, the most educated. They understood astrology. They understood mysticism. They understood healthcare. Like, they were the dudes. You with me? And so they came with all these kingdoms. Well, when Daniel was called in before Nebuchadnezzar, and they tell them, these wise men, the Nebuchadnezzar says, hey, I've got this dream. You need to interpret it. And the wise men say what to him? Like, well, you need to tell us the dream so we can interpret it. He's like, no, I ain't going to tell you no dream. You're just going to make something up then. I want you to interpret my dream without hearing it. And they're like, well, we can't do that. He goes, okay, then I'm going to kill y'all. And then Daniel's like, okay, I can't do this, but who can? My God can. So then Daniel comes before Nebuchadnezzar, talks to Nebuchadnezzar, and he says, this is your dream. And he interprets his dream. And when he does that, he saves the wise men from extinction. And then guess who is put in charge of the wise men? So in 605, right, in 605 BC, this moment happens, and Daniel's put in charge, and Daniel then educates these wise men in the Old Testament scriptures, and Daniel tells them about there's going to be a coming king. And when this king comes, he's going to save the world from its sins. And so in this moment, in 605 BC, before Jesus is born, guess what? All these wise men learn about this moment in time when the star will show that Jesus is coming. So fast forward 605 years, all of a sudden, boom, a star shows up. And what did every single day these wise men get up and know? Someday there's a king that's coming. See, these wise men weren't just magicians. They weren't just wise. They weren't just smart. They just weren't in healthcare. They were also called king makers. They would roll into town and they would anoint the new kings. The future kings of kingdoms would go to live with the wise men so they could be educated. These weren't just three Persian dudes with cool hats and robes rolling in on donkeys. In fact, it's quite the opposite. We don't know how many wise men they were, just like Tyler said. There could have been two, there could have been 10. But we do know this, wise men traveled with an entourage because they needed to be protected. So in history, usually when wise men traveled, they would travel with 500 to 1,000 soldiers. Not on donkeys, they'd be mounted up on white Persian horses. Yeah, imagine those brothers rolling in to Jerusalem. Now this is going to make a little more sense to you. Let's hear it. It says these words. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, the wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, where is he who has been born the king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled. In the Greek here, this word troubled means he was so anxious he couldn't control himself. He was terrified. Would he be terrified of three dudes on camels? Nope, he'd just kill them. That's why I believe the entourage was there. I don't know. The Bible doesn't tell me for sure if it was, but that's what I really believe. Because 500 dudes on horses or 1,000 dudes on horses with wise men, guess what Herod didn't want to have happen right now? This. And he knows the kingmakers are rolling into town, so he's deeply troubled, and so is all of Jerusalem. The whole city is scared because the nation's army is spread out all over Israel. It goes on and says this, and assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for it is written by the prophet. This is in the book of Micah. And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people of Israel. It says Jesus will be a shepherd. You know my favorite thing about a shepherd? One is that they protect their sheep. They'll lay down their life for their sheep. Well, Jesus did that for us on a cross. The other thing I love about a shepherd leads people to green grass. A shepherd leads people to what brings them life. See, what Jesus did when he came wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger, and we'll all sing the song, Silent Night, Away in the Manger, Noel, Emmanuel, and they're all great songs. But what we're really celebrating at Christmas is that death was conquered, that sin was covered, and if you follow Jesus on this earth, and if you will actually worship him versus worship yourself, you're going to find wholeness and life like you've never experienced before. There's some sweet, 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 sweet wine. It's called Jesus. And it brings you wholeness and fulfillment. And you can just take this grace and take this life, and you can miss out on your whole life experiencing what it is to walk with him. And I'm just sorry. Or you can worship him. And that's what we're celebrating. Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly. Why did he do it secretly? Because he didn't want all of Israel to know what he was doing. He summoned them secretly and ascertained from them the star had appeared. And he sent to them, like, when did the star appear? Why would Herod want to know when? Herod was ruthless, but he wasn't dumb. If he found out when the star appeared, he would know what? When the child was born. So he finds out that it was a year and a half before, 2 years before, and he sent them to Bethlehem saying, go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him. Does Herod want to worship him? Come on now. But he wasn't talking to dumb dudes, he was talking to wise dudes. And they figured it out too. After listening to the king, they went on their way, and behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. What? Did you hear that? Man, if you look up in the sky, you recognize how big it is now. And we don't even see a portion of it. The galaxies? And Mary felt all alone, and Joseph felt all alone, and they got this little child that's just learning to walk, and his name is Jesus. He is up in the middle of the night, he cries, he gets hungry, he gets sick. The creator of the universe put himself in that position. And at the same time, the creator of the universe, when the wise men show up, is like, oh man, my girl Mary, she needs some love. Mary, I see you. Joseph, I see you. I see you in your moment of isolation. I see you in your moment of pain. I see you in your moment of joy. I see your moment of, like, whether it's bad or it's good, Emmanuel, God is with us. And so who does he send? He doesn't send the shepherds this time. This time he sends the kingmakers. Mm-hmm. I just can't imagine how cool that was. And you know what else is cool? The fact that God moved a star. What? Like, like, we say those things like, oh, yeah, God moved a star. Whoop-a-doo. Like, y'all, God moved the sun. Y'all, I know we got problems. I know we got hard decisions. But the God of all creation was willing to move the star to encourage a mom and a dad who couldn't even talk about who their son was. Think about the mind of Mary. She knew who Herod was. She just didn't walk around with a baby crown on his head. She had to hide who he was from everyone. Everyone still was talking about that ain't Joseph's baby. Why were they in Bethlehem versus Nazareth? Because everyone in Nazareth knew it wasn't Joseph's baby. And as she's all alone, as she's isolated, as Joseph is all alone, what does Jesus do? Jesus, Father in heaven, moves the star to celebrate his son. Verse 9, after listening to the king, they went on their way, and behold, the star that they had seen had went before them until it came to rest over the child. Verse 10, when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. Like, the wise men are like, God is born. We've been waiting for this for over 600 years. A Jewish nation have been waiting for this for thousands of years, and creation have been waiting for this since sin came into the picture. That Emmanuel, God with us, this is not just about jingle bells, y'all. This is the king of the universe came, wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceeding great joy. In verse 11, and going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshiped him. Man, just think how encouraging it was for Mary to see, like, can you imagine being in a small town of Bethlehem? It's like being in St. Joe or Fisher or Tolono or Philo or Muhammad. You're not that big. Oh, did I say that out loud? My bad. But the reality is, it'd be like 1,000 brothers on horses rolling in with swords with some wise men. I promise you, everyone's going to be like, oh, snap. What's going on? And they don't stop at the mayor's house. They don't stop at the cop's house. They don't stop at the doctor's house. They don't stop at the lawyer's house. They roll up on Mary and Joseph's apartment over a garage. And they ain't even got a room in the house. It's just one room with a toilet. And they stop, and a world around them is like, What? And Mary knows he sees her. And Joseph knows he sees her. Why does God always restore our identity in a moment? Because the next moment might be hard and we've got to be ready for it. The next moment's about to get hard. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed on their own. So they gave him gold, frankincense, and myrrh. In 1 second, Joseph's like, we out of the garage. Mama getting a brand new bed. Like, it's going to be good. Ugh, we got gold, frankincense. Like, yeah, we can even go back to Nazareth. I can buy the town of Nazareth. And then he has a dream that night. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. That's what happens to the wise men. Dreams. We're going to hear about them in a second again. You ever been alone? This week, I'm not a person that's alone. Y'all, I love you. You love me. I don't feel alone. I got a wife. I got 4 kids. I don't feel alone ever in my house. I've got a university, a DIA, people that I love that love. Like, I don't feel alone. This last week, on Wednesday, I had just left a shopping experience with a bunch of teenage single moms and a football team. We're walking around doing it. I'm on 10, y'all. I'm coming home. I'm excited. I'm singing Christmas songs. We hang out. We're playing with the kids. We have this new little dog. Now, he's not little anymore. He's getting big. And this dog kept going out on the porch, and he kept barking. And I kept bringing him in the house. I was like, why are you barking, Red? By the way, our last dog's name was Blue. This name is Red. We're single-syllable people. We're simple folk. And so Red comes in. There's also a country song about a dog named Red, I've heard. But anyway, Red comes in, and he's like, won't leave the door. He's laying by the door. This dog is like 10 weeks old, so I don't know what's going on. I don't know if he's got an upset stomach. So I'm like letting him out. He goes outside, he barks. He goes outside. Finally, he brings him in. Well, I realized at 10 o'clock at night why the dog was barking. Now, I walked outside. I looked. I just thought there was an animal outside. Well, 10 o'clock at night, my wife says to me as we're putting the kids to bed, Jason, the barn's on fire. So I put on my shoes without socks, which was a mistake. Didn't put a coat on. I ran outside, and me and Lacey start chucking buckets, and Abe and Bo are chucking buckets, and Kate and Zeke are in the house. We realize that we need to call the fire department. We call the fire department. The fire department comes on. And then I realize all of you that listen to Scanners, I know who you are because you all texted, Jason, are you okay? I didn't even know people still listen to Scanners. People, folks do. Like, you do. Like, I know who you are now. Well, then we're doing this and we're watching the firemen do all this thing, and I'm standing outside. I'm watching this piece of property that I love that my pigs, my pet pigs are in, and the pet pigs got out. I'm thinking all the chickens are gone, and then they put the fire out, and all of a sudden there's two people from the church that just come rolling up just saying, Jason, are you okay? And I was like, yeah, I'm okay. And here's the deal is when I saw him standing next to me with a headlamp on, I didn't know I felt alone until he was there. And I just thought that, Jesus, I thought, man, I didn't know I needed that guy right there, but you did. You're not alone. Then we wrestled 2 pigs, but that's for another sermon. We got 6 hours. I mean, an hour and a half of, I can't even tell you the story. Someday. Oh, yes, you'll hear the story. It goes on and says this. Now when they departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Once again, how does Joseph connect to God? If Joseph was here talking about how he connected to God, he would say, I connect to God through what? Dreams. You think, well, God doesn't work that way now. Almost all of my Muslim friends who found Jesus in the underground church, when I go to Djibouti, when I go to the Middle East, when I go to Arab Africa, when I go to those places and I talk with my brothers and sisters in Christ, almost all of them have found Jesus through a dream. Now, why do they experience dreams and we don't? Maybe because they're constantly seeking truth and we're seeking comfort. I don't know. They wake up every single day and they're seeking truth because they know what they're doing ain't true. He goes on and says this, rise, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt, and you will remain there until I tell you. For Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him. And he rose and took the child and his mother by night and departed Egypt. And he remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, out of Egypt I will call my son. Isn't it crazy how hundreds and hundreds of years ago there's prophecy that he'll be from Nazareth, he'll come out of Egypt, and all of us would have been like, what? But this is why. It goes on and says this, then Herod, when he saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, became furious, and he sent and killed the male children in Bethlehem and in all the region who were 2 years old or under, according to the time that he had ascertained from the wise men. We are in the middle of the book of Exodus, for those of you who've been in church with us for the last 6 months. And in the book of Exodus, what happens when Pharaoh finds out there could be a deliverer coming and he's got to get rid of a nation of Israel? He kills all the male children under the age of 2. There's a force in this world that's called evil. And it's real. And evil doesn't want the world to see deliverers. The enemy doesn't want you to step into who you are created to be. The enemy doesn't want you to start worshiping the Lord in your workplace. He doesn't want you worshiping the Lord as you work in your house. He doesn't want you worshiping the Lord as an athlete. He doesn't want you worshiping the Lord in your music. He doesn't want you worshiping the Lord in your lifestyle. The enemy wants you to think this is all about singing songs on Sunday, having a moment that you take on his grace and you have life. That's what the enemy wants because he knows you already know that. But the enemy does not want you, listen to me, the enemy does not want you to drink the wine that's nice. Because once you start living out the gospel, deliverer. Because the people around you just, they see him. It says this out of the book of Jeremiah, a voice is heard. Rama is weeping, loud lamentations. Rachel's weeping for her children. She refused to be comforted because they are no more. In verse 19, it says this is the end of the chapter. But when Herod died, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt. Tyler told you about what happened when Herod died. He killed a bunch of faithful Jewish people so the world around him would mourn. Why would Herod do it? Because in this world, people, when they have absolute power, they get corrupted and they'll do anything to hold on to it. Y'all, let's not be deceived by people with power. People with power want to get their power from people. And as soon as we can recognize to trust what is true, to trust Jesus, he's the way, the truth, and the life, and not to trust any system in this world that points us to someone in specific. There's only one king, and his name is Jesus. The rest of us, y'all, we're just puppets. The greatest product in this century is you and me. And they're producing us by us staring at a phone for hours and hours a day, believing what's on it. Sorry, I'm preaching now. But I just think sometimes we need to hear it. I got to calm down. Rise, take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for those who had sought the child's life are dead. And when he rose and took the child and his mother and went in the land of Israel, but when he heard that Acheles was reigning over Judea in his place and the father Herod, he was afraid to go there, and being warned in a what? A dream. He withdrew to the district of Galilee. And he went and lived in a city called Nazareth, so that what was spoken of the prophet might be fulfilled, that he would be called a Nazarene. Do you know the one place you didn't want to grow up as a Jewish boy? Nazareth. It was like the place that when you said, where are y'all from? Nazareth. Like, as soon as Jesus started to talk, he would have an accent. He'd have said, y'all. He'd have said, cement. He'd have said, power wash. Yeah, you know who you're making fun of. But here's the deal, like, that's what he'd have done. Well, why would God allow his son to grow up in a place like that? The same reason Philippians 2, it tells us that he came to be a servant. He came to be a sacrifice. He came to be a curse. Because with Jesus, he draws all people to him. Jesus didn't come for one group of people. He came for all the people. So the question is today, yes, he came to save you from your sins. Yes, he came to conquer death. Check, check. But he also came to give you life and life at its fullest. So the question for us is, who will we worship? Will we be like Herod and try to hold on to the power that we have and squash anything that takes our power? Basically, what we have, remember in the book of Exodus, we have the mindset of a slaver who just objectifies people, who looks at people for what they can get from them versus what they can give to them? Or will we have the mindset of maybe the scribes and the Pharisees and the leaders in this time who were just indifferent to this birth of Jesus because they were just looking who would benefit them more, Herod or this new king? Or will we have the mindset of the wise men who recognized they had a lot but didn't have what they need? Because what they needed was Jesus. And when they came to him, they laid it down. This Christmas season, no matter what situation you're in, let's worship the King together. Let's pray. God, we love you. We trust you. We need you. I pray that you just help us to continue to seek you in all that we do. God, if our hearts in this moment are contrary to you, I pray that you change our hearts. I pray that in this world, we will look for you, we will listen for you, and in every aspect of our life, we'll worship you. We love you. We trust you. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.
That prayer and the prior message was from Pastor Jason Epperson of CU Church. If you missed a portion of today's broadcast, it's archived at greatnewsradio.org and wluj.org. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you and have a great day and night.